Good evening. Before we get started, I'd like to say a few words on fire safety. In the event of a fire, the fire escapes are the door you entered by and down the stairs, or the door to the right of the stage. And the fire assembly point is in the car park in the direction of the bank. I would also like to ask that mobile phones be switched on silent during the presentation, please. Thank you for listening. I shall now hand over to Simon for the presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today at this important meeting. I'm Simon Barakia, Chairman of the Starling Petition Group. We're here to share the results of our petition and discuss our plans for bringing reliable, high-speed internet to the Falkland Islands. So before we begin, I want to extend a special welcome to our VIP guests and media representatives from FIRS, Penguin News and FITV. Your presence and support are invaluable to us. Thank you. I'd like to introduce the key members of our team who've been instrumental in driving this initiative forward. Joining me today are Glenn Mackay, Brian Jameson and Mark Spruce. I also want to acknowledge our strategy advisor, Chris Kerr, who lives in the UK. Although Chris can't be here in person, his guidance and support has been invaluable. I know that he'd love to be here tonight. Thank you, Chris. Now, I'll hand you over to Brian.
Next slide. Most of you here probably have not seen, let alone used, Starlink. So allow us to show it to you. Installing a Starlink dish is incredibly easy. It's designed for self-installation by anybody in the world who doesn't have any technical knowledge. There's actually just two instructions. Plug it in, point it at the sky. That's it. Dishy, which is the nickname of the Starlink antenna, it only requires a clear, unobscured view of the sky. Excuse me. It can be tested by downloading the Starlink app on your phone, and you scan the sky. Once the scan's complete, the app will report any obstructions that you might have. That can be trees, it can be other buildings. What you ideally want, lovely clear view to the north and from the west going to the east. When you power up Dishy, it uses its built-in GPS to figure out exactly where it is. It connects to the Starlink network, and then all of a sudden you've got, excuse me, you've got high-speed, quota-free internet. None of the difficulties with VSAT technologies exist. Starlink is approved in over 100 countries, and as of April 24, there's more than 2 million subscribers. The constellation, in comparison to OneWeb's, SpaceX have mastered renewable space rocket launches. This allows them to put satellites into space in staggering numbers at a staggering rate. At the moment, OneWeb's got something like 600 satellites in space. Starlink's got 5,000, and they're aiming for 40,000. With that, thank you. I'll hand you back to Simon.
Thank you, Brian. Right, so I'm going to talk about the petition. Before I do, there's just two people I'd like to mention who signed the petition. We had Mr. Hugh Japs and Mr. Seymour Ball. Thank you. and we had some that I can't remember, really. Right, okay, so we're circulating that petition throughout the islands in May and June to tackle the widespread frustration of our current internet service and push for immediate improvements. The support we've received has been incredible and shows how much our community wants change. The level of support has been overwhelming and highlights just how important this issue is to all of us in the islands. Right, we're going to look at some of the key motivations for the petition. Firstly, it was, frustration with unreliable and slow broadband. It's clear that the current service is inadequate for modern needs. Also, Starlink's success in remote areas, this shows the possibility of significant improvements. And as Brian alluded to earlier, you just need an unobstructed view of the sky to issue you high-speed internet access. There has been technical challenges in camp, so providing 21st century broadband in camp is essential, but is challenging with the current broadband service. Finally, there's an overly aggressive official stance, but I won't dwell on that. This hindered progress, but instead we're going to look ahead and stay positive. Two demands. The first one was to abolish or reduce the 5,400 VSAT license fee. So that fee is unjustifiable in 2024 and, more importantly, unaffordable for most people. So what we're asking for is a maximum of £130 per year for the VSAT license fee, preferably to see the license fee abolished. The second demand is for immediate regulatory approval for Starlink usage. Once we get this, it will enable legal access and support for its low-cost residential tariff. This removes the need for a global roaming package, which at the moment I think is £200 a month, short to go to £380 a month. I'll give you some examples of Starlink residential packages. In the UK, £75 a month and £40 in Chile. So how did it progress? We proposed the petition on May the 10th, and then on the 20th we launched it across the islands, so on the west in camp and various locations throughout Stanley. On June the 10th, that was a crucial moment when Andy Keeling offered regulatory approval. We'll talk about this later on as well. On June the 28th, it closed. The response from the community has been outstanding. We're going to reveal the results later in the presentation. And then on July the 25th, the formal presentation to the Legislative Assembly. So this timeline shows our persistent efforts and the milestones we've achieved along the way. We want to hand it over to the Legislative Assembly for the next steps to be taken. I'll now hand you back to Brian.
The benefits for non-Starlink users. While it's clear that users who move to Starlink will benefit from huge improvements in download speed and reduction in latency, there's also going to be significant benefits for people who don't actually want Starlink and want to remain on shared packages. Might seem a little bit odd, but the reduction in congestion on Shure's network, which is going to be due to fewer high usage customers, will lead to better quality of service. Who knows, it could even, in the month-end blows, they could become a thing of the past. Fewer people will potentially be downloading large files, huge OS updates, game updates, and so on. For people still using Shure's broadband, these tasks will become more reliable and hopefully reducing the need to retry those sorts of downloads. We're expecting enhanced reliability and stability when using Shure's broadband service, with the possibility of high usage customers moving to Starlink. That would reduce the stress on Shure's network, leading to far fewer technical issues and fluctuations in speed. That improves the quality of service. One final thought is that the possibility of upgrades to shared broadband or 4G could be brought about by that new competition. There are many opportunities to do this. It's really beyond the scope of the presentation to fully compare OneWeb and Starlink. What we do know is that OneWeb will complement Shure's existing broadband service, and we should actually welcome that. Excuse me. OneWeb's business model focuses on selling to businesses and governments. They don't sell directly to consumers. In the case of South Atlantic Islands, OneWeb partners with Intelsat, which is in fact Shure's upstream provider. We do know that due to the maximum capacity of OneWeb's beams, it cannot actually fully replace the geostationary satellite capacity. It's not actually designed to do that. So it's likely that the OneWeb service will be offered as a premium service to business customers. We really await announcement from Shure as to how this will be offered in practice. In contrast to that, Starlink focuses on selling directly to customers and small businesses. As customers on every continent, it's incredibly easy to install. You can also run it from a lead acid battery. So you can take it, you can be out in camp, and you can be fully connected. As long as you've got a clear view of the sky, you can expect download speeds between 250 and 450 megabits a second. The latency that you'll experience with Starlink, something around 80 milliseconds. That's an awful lot better than what's achieved through Shure's system. And sadly, it's also better than what OneWeb is currently able to offer. We're told that Shure is working hard to reduce that latency, so that would be awesome to see that in practice. Back to Simon. Okay, you're not done with me yet. What we've been talking about is things that are in the past, and what we want to do is get it to the future. I'm not the future. It's the youngsters who are the future. I'd like to introduce you to the future, who's going to discuss the Starlink results. Daniel Lee.
Thank you, Brian. Hello, everyone. My name is Daniel Lee, and I attend the community school. Thank you, everyone, including Brian and Simon, for the invite to come along tonight. I'm here to talk about the significant challenges the youth in our community face due to our unreliable and slow internet. One of our reasons is during the winter months, the entertainment options in town are limited. Many of us turn to our phones and online games to pass the time, but these activities become incredibly frustrating without reliable internet connection. This forces us to either brave the harsh weather or risk exceeding our parents' internet packages to stay entertained. I've done that many times, I would not advise it. Modern education relies heavily on online resources, and resources like Spark Maths, Bedrock Learning, and Seneca. We need better internet access for research and learning platforms like YouTube, which are invaluable for our studies. The current limitations severely hinder our educational process. So another thing is, the Falklands is a diverse community. and many of us need to stay connected with our family and friends abroad. Long conversations over the internet quickly use up our broadband allowances, which makes us feel like we've been isolated further. Reliable and affordable internet is essential for maintaining these important social connections. So here are some of the effects of our of unreliable and slow internet, and what they have on us. So long loading times are very frustrating and increase our stress levels. We risk missing deadlines or not finishing assignments because of poor internet connections. Slow internet disrupts live online classes, making it hard to follow lessons and participate. Many educational tools, as previously mentioned, require a good internet connection, so we can't use them efficiently. Friends with faster internet connections have, you know, an advantage over those with slower connections, making it harder to socialize. It's challenging to connect with friends for group projects or even to chat, you know, making us feel isolated again. So thank you for listening and your support in helping us improve our internet. Yeah, I'd like to hand it back to Simon. So, here are the results of the camp. This is it, right?
Yeah.
So, now. So, I'll not this up, I don't know.
There you have it.
Yeah, they're glued together. Start with the camp results. Should be up on the screen soon. We've got 185 people who signed a petition on the west or in camp. We've got 717 people who signed it in NPC, and in Stanley we have 1,482 That makes the total of the entire of the islands 2,416 people, which isn't too bad. So thank you very much for signing the petition and helping us reach that number. So.
Thank you, Daniel. Okay, so next slide, please. Okay, so what we did was we compared those results against the 2021 census data. So you can see Stanley was an estimate of 67% of the people in the Stanley positively supported the petition, which is a much higher level than we did expect. Pretty similar in the camp, that was 72%. However, we're not sure the total number of people currently working at MPC, but we can estimate to be more than 1,000 individuals split between civilian contractors and military personnel. These numbers show a well petition has been supported by the general population of the islands because we all rely on good internet, things like school, work, staying in touch with family and friends. Having the high quality affordable internet is essential for everyone in our community. Some of you may have seen this post on the community board, Facebook community board that I set up good while ago now, so I asked the question, if Starlink was available, would you stop using Shure's broadband? From over 600 responses, the majority said they would use both Starlink and switch to a cheaper Shure broadband package. Only 2% said they would stay exclusively with Shure broadband, although we believe this would be much higher in practice. Nobody can predict the future, and it would be interesting to see how this would work out in practice. Having the option of a second ISP, particularly as a backup service, is becoming increasingly important as more and more aspects of daily life require a reliable internet connection. These include fuel stations, payment systems, shops, hospital infrastructure, education, and many people who rely on stable connection for work. Reliable internet options are not just a luxury, they are a necessity that is urgently needed. Okay, we're now going to officially hand over the position to our sponsoring MLA, Roger Spink. This is a big milestone in our journey towards improved and faster internet. Thank you, Roger, for your support.
Savvy this, Roger.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
I'd like to thank the organisers of the petition and those who've signed up to its contents for so clearly setting out their requests, backed by a large number of our population, I didn't realise quite how large there, for change in the current VSAT licence fee and the granting of regulatory approval for Starlink to offer domestic tariffs. It was decided in 2016 by the government of the day that despite representations made during a select committee process that people who self-provide are not contributing with the rest of the community to the joint costs of the exclusively licensed service, which theoretically makes the cost of the service per customer higher than it would otherwise be. Self-provision was not outlawed completely, but was made available to individual private users at a license fee designed to discourage self-provision. The point was made by many people back in 2016 that the license should be exclusive only to resale of telecom services, thereby allowing businesses and individuals to self-supply but not sell services. This would allow choice and testing of technology and should impart an element of competition in that the license holder should be able to install and provide the service cheaper than any business or individual. It was also pointed out in 2016 by FIG officers that free market competition in a market is more likely to be more effective in ensuring practical consumer protection and quality of service and price control than any regulator. Many factors have changed since that decision, including quality of service, availability, reliability, and cost of alternative services, and a high level of financial support from FIG to the exclusive provider for improved internet provision, and that considerable financial support giving the provider a significant commercial advantage now was not made back in 2016. I shall be presenting the petition to the Legislative Assembly on the 25th of July, where, subject to support by MLAs, and I'm sure there will be support, it will be referred to a select committee currently scheduled for the 1st of August. In the select committee, we will have the opportunity to hear the evidence, establish the facts, revisit the decision and the advice it was based upon, taking into account the overwhelming support demonstrated today from our community for change. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. The incredible support and positive response to this petition just shows how urgent this issue is, and we now need the Legislative Assembly to address our demands quickly. We look forward to the response and hope for swift action to improve our internet services. We feel that there's an air of urgency around the need to use Starlink in the islands, and we would ask whether a protracted select committee debate is really required in these circumstances. We all know the laws are there to be obeyed, but we also know that they can be changed. We would urge that this takes place soon and believe that completing everything by October 2024 is a realistic and achievable goal. Although Andy Keelan could not attend the meeting, he has kindly asked our statement be read on his behalf. I'm very sorry I cannot be at the meeting, and I wish all the best in terms of the presentation and the petition handover to the government. Since making the public statement in May, I've now been in direct contact with SpaceX, and I had a Teams meeting with them on the 8th of July to discuss provision in the Falkland Islands. So yeah, we're actually talking to people in Starlink right now, which is excellent news. He goes on to say, however, it is clear that the two asks in the petition are the Falkland Islands government to consider and respond to. As I said in a recent email exchange with Simon, from my perspective, it is to access. It is access to properly affordable super fast broadband whilst maintaining the universal service offer as well as reliable other telecom services. That would be our aim. I'm less bothered about who the provider should be, other than the need for reliability, but I completely understand why people have become so frustrated with Shua and with FIG for entering into and maintaining an agreement that has effectively fixed things for so long. MLAs have been clear with the public service that telecoms is one of the two priorities that they have set, and we are very clear of the need to demonstrate improvement for the whole community. Firstly, I would just say that I welcome the community activism on this issue. It is a sign of a healthy democracy for us to have public debate in this way, and look forward to continue working with colleagues taking forward solutions on my return to the islands. Okay, that's almost the end of the presentation. We're now moving on to the discussion session. But before we do, just some guidelines. Please raise your hand and wait to be recognised. Meant to be polite and to the point, and do not interrupt others. Thank you.
Questions, start away. I'll try and get to you and not fall over.
I'll say something. No surprise there.
I'd just like to say welcome to the young man who stood up this evening most eloquently and from personal experience and actually expressed, which most of us adults don't appreciate unless you're a parent, the limitations of the current provision for studying, communicating with your peers when you're at home in the evening, which the rest of the world just takes for granted. Young man, you have a huge future, and well done to you for standing up there this evening and speaking for everybody that you represent. That's it. No questions.
Hi Gary, I'll hand over.
Can we be sure that when the MLAs do get together and discuss this, that it's completely open and we know how you're voting and who's voting for what? This would be my question, please.
Gary, I think, as I understand it, in the Select Committee process, it will be open. If, for instance, we are sure to come and give us financial information which is private, there may have to be a closed section. But I think, as far as possible, everything will be as open and transparent as possible.
I certainly agree with Roger, but it just might be an opportune time to highlight that we've taken advice on the procedure of taking the petition into the House, and it may seem a little bit quiet, just to forewarn you, because I think, unless the advice has changed, I can see my colleagues nodding, the advice is that we're not allowed to speak to the petition in response to it when it's presented, but obviously then it will go to the Select Committee where the discussion and debate will take place. So just to forewarn everybody that it isn't being received negatively, it is just a process and procedure, but we're hoping to highlight that as part of the discussion, if Roger wants to add to that.
I would add, I mean, we're having some meetings to discuss the process for the Select Committee, and we need some independent advice as well for ourselves during that process. And we've got the first meeting scheduled for the 1st of August, and we're trying to get through the process as quickly as possible. We do recognise the urgency with the petition, so we want to get on with it as well and make some decisions and make some progress. So we're going to try and move things forward as quickly as we can. Government processes aren't always as quick as any of us would like, but we're moving as quickly as we can to get things, make some decisions. Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry Walter, Tony Wake at the hospital, where we definitely started yesterday. We've got an atrocious clinical system. It hasn't been updated since 2016. And that is sorted. My question is the government has a contractual relationship with CHUR such that there will be huge penalties if they try to change the contract to allow Starlink on board?
I understand there is a contractual relationship with CHUR. I don't think we're able to give you the full details, but that is one of the issues. But I think, as you will see, and I think as I alluded to in my response there, the license fee was set up back in 2016 when there wasn't also a subsidy for sure either. There is a subsidy for sure now. So that was, the playing field was such that there was an advantage given to Shaw over anyone self-providing. Whether or not the subsidy now would actually dictate that there is no or less of a need for a license fee,
That is something that we need to explore during the select committee process.
I don't need a microphone. Why was it set up at $5,500 in the first place, the license fee?
It equated to the highest package for individuals at the time. I think it was meant to be a penal fee.
Good answer.
Do you want a question?
Is there anybody from Shaw here tonight,
Representative Shaw?
No, we had sent an invite to the CEO of Shaw, but they declined to turn up this evening.
Their internet wasn't working.
Just a question on behalf of the businesses. That has and is planning on getting started on the islands. Do we pay the license fee now? And if they decide to make away with the fee, do we get it funded? Because we are struggling with a lot of the companies that deal with the UK on a daily basis to get information up and down. So if we do get the license, we pay the fee. Will there be a rebate in that? Or is it we pay the license and that's it?
I think that would be a decision that if we change the license fee, that would have to be made at the time. And I think it depends, I think people would wish to be reasonable, but at the same time, I don't think we can commit to anything until we've discussed it and made a decision. So I think at the moment, people have to pay a fee, but whether or not there'd be a refund or a partial refund if it was changed, that would have to come out of any decisions from the select committee going towards the government, yeah.
Very monthly. Anybody else before we wrap things up?
I would just like to ask the actual petition thing that if there was any actual cost in actually sorting out the petition, because I think it's been a pretty awesome thing on behalf of the whole community, and just wonder if there's any cost that needs to be maybe a generous donation from people to actually for all the work that's been put into putting it all together.
Thank you, that's very kind. I'm sure that's something we can discuss maybe after this meeting, if you want to come and speak to us. But yeah, I'm not too sure at the moment. Thank you.
Quite simply, why has there been no regulation procedures with against Shaw that the service is being unregulated?
There is an independent regulator at the moment. The Attorney General is the acting regulator. It has been regulated. I don't think regulation has been terribly effective, but there are steps taken to ensure when there are quality of service issues, etc.
Do FIG have a plan in place if Shaw are to get on the next plane and leave in 2028?
I think in 2028, yes, there are transition arrangements, which are obviously confidential, but there are transition arrangements.
Thank you.
How sure are we that Starlink will be willing to engage with the Auckland government in talks about licensing the area?
All I can say is, I think you heard from Andy Keating, I think they are in discussion with people at a reasonably high level within Starlink as we speak. So.
Fee within the second, Andrew.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who's presented tonight. It's welcomed and much appreciated by all the community. I just wanted to wind it back a little bit to something Roger and Tesla were talking about in terms of presenting this to Legislative Assembly and then having a select committee. We have been through this before in 2016, and my gobby voice was one of them. And it didn't really achieve much, did it? I think I could put the same presentation up and it would still be valid today. So my point is that with what you've seen tonight, MLAs, I think that it's really important you understand the expectation that we don't want a select committee, wait 6 months and roll this into a negotiation or the next shore license. This is an action for now.
It's probably wrong for me to speak because I was speaking alongside you at the time, man. I'll pass it on to someone else.
Well, I wasn't, so, but I completely agree, and I think that there's. I can't speak for the people who were making the decisions back then. I'm sure they thought they were doing the right thing. I think we've perhaps learned from that. But I think there is an absolute desire here to take things forward. I would say too, picking up on Tesla's point there about, you know, when the petition comes to the House at the end of this month, it's not going to look like a lot. In fact, it's going to look like a bit of a dance script because it really is just going to be a presenting of it, and that is going to feel frustrating. I think what's important to understand is that this work has already been ongoing. I think it was mentioned in the presentation that the initial contact with Starlink was in June. Certainly my understanding is it was before that, it was in March. But there is work going on in the background now on the kind of clear and present issue as well as the longer issue. So. Will it be quick enough for anybody? I don't know, to be honest. I can't promise that. But the work is ongoing. It is being taken very seriously, and it's not sitting around waiting for the select committee. But the select committee is a really important bit of the process, I think, to just bring out the views. Roger's already alluded to the fact that it can get some facts out in the public as well.
Gavin was on.
I was there in 2016, and we took the decision based on the information we had. There wasn't basically too many other suppliers in there, apart from Bentley Walker. Now, things have changed. They've changed quickly. The future has arrived, as you've got up there. And will we pay... pay the respect to this petition that is needed? Yes, we will. It will go to the select committee, and if I have my way, I will clear up the mess I started in 2016.
Really, because I don't think the point could be even more well echoed, but I think we're all kind of unanimous on this. And I just also wanted to say, we were speaking to Mark earlier today, he's away in the UK. He sends his regrets for not being here, otherwise he would be here, but he also lends his support into taking this through to select committee to get it addressed as soon as possible. But yeah, you have my support on that, Andrew. It's a very good point, and you got a round of applause for good reason. We all understand how serious this issue is. We've prioritised it, and we have been working and continue to work to get improvements.
Thank you.
not so much a question, but more of a bear this in mind moment, but penalising people £150,000 due to frustration, because sure, it's not providing an appropriate service, is not the right way to go about this when, in fact, sure, have not been held accountable for their lack in progress over these years. So that is something that needs to be reviewed before the select committee, because I can imagine that Gilbert House and Shaw will probably set a go on fire if someone gets penalised so much.
Forgive me for not understanding the legislative process and the select committee process, but is it not possible to have things running in parallel here? You may need to have a select committee to look at future provision and the contract with Shaw, but can you not alongside that very swiftly allow Starlink to allow users to register and perhaps be a service provider in the area, so that actually people can start accessing Starlink legally and without having to wait until the end of October or however long your protracted select committee processes take? I'm unclear how the select committee process links in with the Starlink approval process. So if somebody could explain that, that would be helpful.
Thanks, I think it's an excellent question, and it's a good way to highlight the work that's already been happening and behind the scenes. And as you know, there is currently in our legislation space for VSAT, which is and can facilitate a Starlink link, but that also does require full service to be properly acknowledged by Starlink, and so that process has been happening already. The full work behind the intent behind the petition also touches into other areas which interact with our law, which would need to be changed and addressed. So that will, my understanding, as a legislator, needs to go to the select committee for full review to be able to suggest and to look at amendments.
This is more of a personal thing, but since about 2020, we've not been able to phone my wife's family on Tristan Acuna. It doesn't work. We've contacted Shaw 18 times, nothing's happened. We can't receive phone calls from Tristan Acuna unless they come through Government House. And if that happens, we get billed from Government House for receiving phone calls. If I use the internet, it might work, it might not work. We struggle like anything. We've got grandchildren there, we can't see their faces, it's appallingly slow. And as well as that, when my father-in-law died, they couldn't get off us. It was atrocious. Something needs to change.
I'm sorry, Phil, I'm going to jump in on this one. Because we have no representative Shaw in the House, I think it's unfair that we try and answer that. Yeah, it's very unfair if we point that towards the MLAs as well, I think, since it is very much a Shaw issue. It's a very well brought up point. If you're happy to leave it at that, that we are aware of it.
It wasn't meant to be a dig at Shaw or dig at MLAs. It's just something
just a point that we're bringing.
I'm really taking it as something they could bring up in their discussions, that it's not just the internet, it is communications in general are just appalling for everybody. Nationwide.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your point, Phil.
Hi, can I just ask who's policing the £5,400 a year licence fee?
It's the regulator's responsibility. Right, if there aren't any more questions, we'll probably wrap it up in the next few minutes. Just want to say to everybody, thank you so much for turning up and showing appreciation for what everyone has done in the team. Looks like Brian wants to go on the blower again. I'll hand you over.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I just would like to say, from some of the comments we've had, that it reminds me of something that was written by Abraham Lincoln. He said that with public sentiment, anything can be achieved. Without public sentiment, nothing will be achieved. I think the petition shows we've got public sentiment. So thank you for signing.
We've come to the end of the presentation, so I'd like to thank everyone for your time, participation and support. This journey has been a collective effort and we couldn't have come this far without you. Please share what you've learned tonight with others, and if you've got any feedback, feel free to email me at that email address. I'd like to say a special thank you to Roger Spink and all the MLAs for their support and involvement. Thank you to those individuals in FIG who are working with Starlink to provide them with regulatory approval for Starlink usage in the islands. Working together, we can bring about the change we need and ensure a better connected future for the Falklands. Let's keep the momentum going. As you have seen on every slide, change can't wait until 2028. Now is the time. Thank you.